want us to focus our attention on the words of verse 4. We'll consider other portions of the passage, but Romans 15 verse 4, we seek to take three words and build upon it for our encouragement, some thoughts. We read in verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Patience and comfort is where we will hook our thoughts this evening as we open the Scriptures together. What are meant by these terms? What exactly is in the mind of the apostle when he uses the word patience and uses the word comfort? By patience, you might put in there the idea of endurance or perseverance. And when it comes to the word comfort, you might think of the idea of encouragement. So in one sense, you might say it's endurance and encouragement, if you like to alliterate for the sake of your memory. Endurance and encouragement, which, as I was reading it, was thinking, as I meditated upon it, thought to myself, well, that's kind of a strange pairing of words. Endurance and encouragement, patience and comfort. Endurance is needed, of course, when things are difficult. That stands to reason. If something's hard, then we need endurance. We need that ability to persevere through the difficulty when it's easy. I mean, generally, you don't need much endurance to eat a slice of cake, right? You know, it's not. But there may be sometimes that you have to eat certain things for your health, whatever, and you need a measure of endurance to get through it. Maybe to acquire a taste of certain things that you've avoided for 40 years in your life, and the doctor says you need to start eating these things, and you need a measure of endurance to acquire that taste. So, when I was thinking about this, endurance and comfort, I'm thinking, well, endurance is needed when things are difficult. Comfort is needed to make things easier. So if the apostle is saying that through the Scriptures we have, on the one hand, comfort, why then do we need patience? I mean, if it's coming to our comfort, does that not bring us to a point of comfort through it so that we don't need the endurance anymore? And of course, in these terms, we recognize the difficulty of the Christian life, the challenge, and the way God comes from various sides, as it were, in different circumstances to give us what we need in the challenges of life. The Christian life's not easy, beloved. It's not. It is a challenge. We have enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil are a real trinity of evil that we face every single day. And it doesn't go away. It doesn't let up. It doesn't take vacation. It doesn't retire. We are constantly bombarded in various ways and often taken off guard. How many times has it been noted that it is at the strongest point a man needs to be most vigilant? And you can see that borne out in the Scriptures. So two things as we think about this. First, what is the means of obtaining patience and comfort? And then why do we need patience and comfort? So what is the means of obtaining patience and comfort? Well, we're told it's the Scriptures. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We might put it this way. Scripture teaches endurance and provides encouragement. It teaches endurance and provides encouragement. There are all sorts of passages and expressions of whether it's illustrated through the life of someone or through statements of Scripture that we are taught the importance of enduring, of patience, of persevering. But as well, we have encouragement through the lives of many of the saints in the past. But not only from them. If we were to ask the question, how exactly does the Scripture provide patience and comfort for us? Primarily, we might say, from Christ. Look at the third verse. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." Now, we'll unpack that a little more in just a moment. But you see, first of all, Christ comes, and what we have recorded for us concerning the Son of God is of primary help in enabling us to endure and be encouraged. But there is also everything else. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so, obviously, there are messianic passages. He quotes one right here. And whatsoever things were written aforetime is a clear reference to the Old Testament Scriptures. And tying in verse 3, obviously then there's a primary thought about how the Old Testament Scriptures point to the Son of God, point to the Messiah who would come in the fullness of time. But I don't think we limit it to that. Obviously there are passages in the Old Testament that aren't tied in specifically to the person and work of the Messiah. And yet still they are written for our learning. They are written to teach us. Underlining, by implication, we need to be taught. You need to be taught this. You need to be taught the things that will help you endure and be encouraged. So you think of Noah, for example, and you know, the long wait for the judgment of God. I mean, he was living in such ongoing sin. I'm sure that Noah felt what we sometimes feel in this world when we have vivid displays of the wickedness of men. We get weary of it. We get weary of it. And we almost wish and pray for the tying up of everything as the Lord has promised. And so we do pray, even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Tie this whole thing up. Bring it to the conclusion that you have appointed. It's not wrong. It is not wrong. We look for that place wherein dwells righteousness. We look for that place where not that defileth enters in. And we, robed in the righteousness of Christ, will have our place. We look for it. And I imagine Noah was the same. And yet for 120 years, he has to wait. He has to labor amidst the mockery and unbelief of his generation and the ongoing injustices that were put before him. He had to endure. Had to find comfort in the promise of God as he waited. Abraham, called from Ur of the Chaldees, given a promise, having expectation of seed. 25 years he is waiting. 25 years. His son Isaac, not much different. 20 years in the waiting for his wife to fall pregnant. Jacob and the patience he had to learn before Laban and other experiences in his life. Joseph, 13 years to see God's prophecy fulfilled. The tremendous suffering of Job and the patience that was there and clutching to try and find comfort. Moses needed ongoing strengthening from the Lord. He was taught great patience. 40 years of waiting in the wilderness, wondering what God was doing. Naomi, Hannah, David, on it goes. The Scriptures are filled with people that experienced things that are teaching us specifically what it is to be patient and know comfort, to enter into the patience that God gives. Verse 5, now the God of patience. How does He relate that to us? Largely through His Word. Turn to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Thinking of Jeremiah in this regard. And this man who again lives in a, not just with the world out there being wicked, but those who were professing to be the Lord's people. The wickedness that filled their lives and brought sorrow to him. Speaks of shedding tears in secret places and lamenting over what's going on. But in Jeremiah 15, verse 15, amidst all that's going on, he says, O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? It takes a lot to bring a man of Jeremiah's caliber to say those words. Right? This isn't just, you know, an unfortunate event. This is great pressure. And he feels like all that he is doing is in vain. And God is appearing, in one sense, not to be faithful to him. So how does the Lord address him? How is he given endurance and comfort? With another word from God. Verse 19. Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So what is the means of obtaining patience and comfort, beloved? It's the Scriptures. It is the Scriptures. Over and over again, this is what bears up the people of God. It's the Word that gives hope. It's the Word that enables us to carry on. It's when we can't see through the fog. It's the Word of God that is a rock to keep going forward when we don't even know where we're going or where we will arrive. We keep reading the Word. I ask you then, are you reading the Word? Are you reading the Word of God? Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Scriptures are given by God to instill, to teach, and to instill patience and comfort in the hearts of those that believe. Now, of course, none of us experience patience and comfort in the absolute sense. We never get, you know, the ultimate experience of it. We're always learning more. But how do we learn more? When the billows roll, when the challenges come, when the difficulties come to you and you're straitened by the providence of God, what do you do? Open the Word. Open the Word. It takes so little from God to make a difference in the lives of His people. Just a still, small voice. When you know it has come from Him. So maybe you are feeling the heat. Are you staying in the Word? These things were written for your learning. Yes, the Old Testament as well as the New. Don't miss out on the Old. Don't ignore the Old. They're written to help you. But why do we need patience and comfort? Why is this so important? Well, obviously, there are obvious reasons we might say we need patience and comfort, some of the things we've listed, the challenges that we face, just generally, the hardships that you go through and I go through, you need the Word of God. But in the context, it is with a very narrow and specific application that Paul writes these words. And there's an indication of it as you read through from verse 4 through. So let's read from verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What is he laboring for? He's laboring for unity. He is laboring for the unity of the body of Christ. He is laboring for unity among the people of God. Now, those of you familiar with this great epistle will know that. And if you go back to the previous chapter, Romans 14, verse 1, the apostle brings in this idea of the weak and the strong. So Romans 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, not to judge his doubtful thoughts, not to pass judgment on their opinions. That's the idea. You're not to accept them and then immediately launch into a judgment of all their opinions and everywhere where they are different. So those that are weak in the faith, you receive. Why? Because they're in the faith, as weak as they may be. They are in the faith. If they're in the faith, they're in Christ. You must receive them. You must. What Romans 14 teaches us is the reality that the church will never be filled with clones. It won't. It won't. You may think the world would be a better place if it was just clones of you. I hope you don't. But you may imagine that. But that's, and it's not just as, I don't believe it's just as a result of the fall, by the way. There's distinction. Obviously, there's distinction in gender. There's a distinction in gifting that is spread across. Now, it all gets, there's a conformity to Christ, obviously. But there isn't a kind of cloning that goes on that makes us all just like things that come off a factory line. And obviously, because of the fall, this is heightened, right? I mean, it's there if, if there was no fall, it's still there. But even as a result of the fall, it's much more magnified, right? There are theological differences. There are practical differences, economic differences, ethnic differences, intellectual differences, gifting differences, temperament differences, and on and on and on you could go. There's all these differences. Sometimes we don't mesh, as nicely as we might want. And so Paul has to write to this church, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. And don't pounce on the differences. Don't pounce on everywhere where there's a distinction. The beauty of the variety is not without its challenges. Coexistence can be a struggle. Right, so if you're feeling it, or if you have felt it, you're not alone. It's there. It's always been there among the people of God. But he refers to those that are weak. And he's not saying weak as in they lack faith to trust the Lord. It is more the application of their faith. That they struggle in certain contexts. Now the two contexts he gives in Romans 14 relate to, number one, eating. What can be eaten or shouldn't be eating or whatever. And holy days, those, you can see it in verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs, or herbs, as you like to say here. And in verse 5, you have these ceremonially significant holy days. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so without getting into all of this, basically, in matters of indifference, the strong are not to make things more difficult for the weak. They're to use their strengths to help the weak. And when we're tempted to make judgments on tertiary issues or matters of indifference, the universal truth, if I could just hone in on two verses, verses 12 and 13 of Romans 14, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Stop this constantly bringing judgment day to every brother and sister. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, the strong are to remove reasons of stumbling as they can and are unable to do so. So you don't use your strength to abuse. Rather, you use your strength to support. You use your strength to remove the hindrances and the challenges. And you do it for the sake of the church. This is the point. Now go back to Romans 15. You see this again. Look at verse 1. We then that are strong. So, he's I don't know, saying it's flattering the church, but he's certainly pointing out the fact that he, along with others that he is writing to, may be considered as strong, unlike those that are weak in the faith. Verse 1 of 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For, here's the example, even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And he quotes them from Psalm 69. Turn there for a moment just to look at that before we close. Psalm 69. You have this messianic psalm, much of it, not all of it, not every word is applicable to our Lord Jesus Christ. But certainly some of it is. Look at verse 4, for example. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Verse 7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. This is all very much fulfilled in Christ. Look at verse 9 specifically. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. This is quoted by Christ in John 2. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. That's the text that Paul refers to in Romans 15. Then I wept and chastened my soul with fasting that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment. I became a proverb to them. And so on and so forth. Maybe just a few more verses. Verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Look at verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. So Christ is evidently seen here, and that is, the apostle draws on one particular text. And again, go back, and how is he using it? Christ pleased not himself. He's saying to the strong, don't constantly please yourself. Don't constantly have everything to satisfy your peculiar convictions. Now, I know some convictions must be held and hammered home, and there can be no giving up of them. But the example is this, if I can put it this way. The strong are to adopt a similar frame of heart as our Lord Jesus Christ. Since Christ was patient under the hands of sinners, saints must be patient for the sake of their brothers and sisters. And this then is where the patience and comfort is needed. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What are we hoping for? The songs of unity among the people of God. A brighter day for the church. When there is distinction and there is difference, we constantly are looking for what God will yet do. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. This is a wish, a prayer, a longing of the apostle. His heart goes heavenward looking for a greater fulfillment of this in the church. That the Scriptures would teach us true patience and comfort with each other, not just with what we're faced with and what we're enduring in life, but among the saints. Patience. Comfort. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. There's one thing that doesn't need to be argued, and that is the difference between differing brethren is not as great as the difference between Christ and any of his people. And yet he condescends. So we have hope. The Scriptures give us hope. As we see even the faults among the church and faults among genuine believers, the Scriptures actually fill our hearts with hope for their ongoing sanctification, for their ongoing growth, for a brighter day in which the church is made more like unto Christ. So what happens when the church doesn't read the Word? She's less unified. She doesn't exhibit patience. She's impatient with others, has no sense of hope of what God will yet do with the weak, building them up in their most holy faith. It's transforming when someone who has hurt you or someone who is in the church in some way has grieved you, it's transforming to fall on your knees and pray for them and pray for their sanctification and the transformation of their lives. You stop trying to find fault in them or evidently seeing the fault, and you start looking for answers to your prayers. You start looking for what God is doing in their life, an answer to your prayer. So may we have true patience and comfort. May the Scriptures grant it to us, especially towards one another and to other believers in Christ. We're going to sing before we come to pray.